Ain't you glad he takes care of you? Amen. Thank you all. That was mighty good singing. Good to have you home, Levi. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Probably won't keep you long tonight, but I want to give you what I felt the Lord gave me. John chapter number 15. Say amen when you get there. John chapter number 15. Let's look at verse number 1, where the Lord said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, a husbandman is a vine keeper. Husbandman. Did I get it right? Sound like I'm trying to crank a Kawasaki, don't it? The husbandman is the one who plants and cares for the vine. Amen? So just so you know what that word meant. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Sometimes we don't understand why the difficulty comes in our lives. And sometimes it's just purging so that we can bear more fruit. In other words, as the vine grows, here again the Lord is using things that these disciples understand and these people understand to explain to them a spiritual situation. And as those vines would begin to grow, the husbandman would come in and trim those things back. And sometimes God does that in our lives, not to hurt us, but that we may grow yet the more. Amen? Some of you ladies know about that with some of these different kinds of flowers. You pull those buds off and more will grow. Amen? So sometimes he does a little purging in our life that he might do more in and through our life. He said in verse number 3, I love this scripture right here. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I like that. In verse number 4, where we'll take our text tonight, he said, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He said the branch couldn't bear fruit of itself. In other words, if you go to a grapevine and you cut a vine off or a branch off of the vine and lay it out in the yard, it's not going to produce grapes. Is that right? Why? Because it's been cut off. And he said, except you abide in me, we've got to be attached at all times to the vine. Amen? In other words, we got to stay hooked up. Now, he used that little phrase a couple of times in that verse, abide in me. Abide in me. For a few minutes tonight, I want to talk about abiding in Christ. What does it mean to abide? Where you abide is where you stay. Amen. The brothers would say, where I stay is at. Amen. Where you abide is where you stay. Are you staying in Christ? Not a question about whether or not Christ is staying in you, because we know that He is. Just because you have Christ in your heart don't mean that you're abiding in Christ. Do you understand that? Have you got it? His love never changes. His compassion never changes. His mercy never changes. His grace never changes. But ours does. Amen. In John chapter number 15, in these first few verses, this first part of John 15, he talks a lot about abiding in Him. Now, if we are to abide in Him that we may bear fruit, I want to abide in Him, don't you? I want to look at several things tonight as we think about abiding in Christ. Now, it takes something to abide in Christ. If you're going to stay in Christ, not Christ stay in you, but if you're going to stay in Him, it takes work. Do you understand that? It's not just something that the day you get saved, you just get bopped on the head and all of a sudden, brother, you're just living for God like gangbusters and nothing ever goes wrong and you always make the right decisions and you always do right and you pray like you ought and you read like you ought. Yeah, that ain't the way it is. Amen. Brother Earl used to say when he got saved, his cusser quit. Mine didn't. It slowed down. Boy, it got quiet in here. I had to work on that thing. How many of you had to work on that vocabulary after you got saved? Hey, even women with their hands. Mama, I ain't never heard you cuss. My mama had her hand up, Brother Freddie. Wow. That just shocked me. My mama used to cuss. Lord, have mercy. Anyway, we had to work on those things, and abiding in Christ takes work. Would you agree with that? How many of, let's look at it this way. How many of you struggle sometimes just to be what you say you are, and that's a Christian? Okay, you get the picture. Amen. Abiding in Christ takes work. Well, let me show you what abiding in Christ requires. To abide in Him, to truly abide in Christ, it requires some specific things, and they're really simple things. The first thing that abiding in Christ requires is conversion. Amen. You can't abide in Christ if you don't know Him. You must first be converted. What is converted? It is what He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Amen. It is being saved. It is trusting Christ as your Savior. Hey, not church membership. You say, this sounds like it ought to be Sunday morning. God knew where to put it. Hey, maybe somebody in here tonight, you don't know why you can't live for God. It may be because you don't know God. You can't figure out why you can't get a handle on your spirit, your temper, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, whatever it may be. It may be because you're not abiding in Christ, because Christ is not abiding in you. Amen. Are we all right? The first requirement for abiding in Christ is truly being saved. How often do you take an account of your salvation? Seriously. How often do you just stop and think? You ever do something you think, could I really do that if I was saved? Boy, it's getting quiet on me. Amen. Would I really act that way if I was really saved? Would I really be this angry if I was really saved? Would I really have this hard a time getting over this or that if I was really saved? Yeah. Do you ever ask yourself that question? Y'all talk to me now. Yes, sir. Amen, I do. But I'm glad I don't go back to joining the church. Yep, I know I'm saved because I joined the church on such and such a date. I'm glad that ain't where I go back to. Because if that's as far back as I can go, Christ is not in me. And I surely am not in Him. If I go back to the baptistry, yes, Brother Freddie and I, Brother Charles, we can tell you, we've heard it thousands and thousands of times. Sir, if you die today, do you know heaven would be home? Oh, yeah, I was baptized in 1977. If that's all you got, you ain't got it. If that's all you got baptized, you joined the church, hey, that ain't going to cut it. You can't abide in Him because He is not abiding in you. Simple question tonight, are you truly saved? Are you? I said this years ago, and I hadn't said it in quite a while, but it would be tempting sometimes just in an average service like we have here at our church, just take the microphone and take it to each individual and say, tell us when you got saved. Tell us about when you got saved. Not a big, long testimony, but just tell us when you got saved. I wonder how far we'd get before somebody said, not sure. Brother Terry's wife, we were singing that song in church one Sunday, I believe it was a Sunday night, and I know my name is there, and everybody raised their hand, and their little boy said, Mama, why ain't you raising your hand? She said, because I don't know. And if I didn't know tonight, I'd get that thing settled. Amen. I would get that thing settled right here on a Sunday night, amen, when we were expecting the preacher to preach something real pastoral, not evangelistic. Hey, I'd get in. Amen. I had these sermons switched. I was going to preach tonight what I preached this morning, and I was going to preach this morning what I'm preaching tonight, and the Holy Spirit just redirected my path. He said, right sermons, wrong time. So somebody may be here tonight who needs to be saved. Just like Edward did this weekend. While somebody was singing, whatever it was that was going on, the Holy Spirit dealt with his heart and said, hey, this is for you. You ever had been sitting there when the preacher was preaching and you felt like he's preaching right to you? Do you feel like that right now? If you do, you need to get saved tonight. Amen. You ought to just get born again tonight. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Why, preacher? So you don't have to die and go to hell. Amen. So Christ can abide in you. And then after that, you get the liberty of abiding in Him. Amen. So the first the first requirement for abiding in Christ is, of course, being saved. Amen. I think we'd be shocked if Christ came tonight. I think some people are going to have some long faces or some confused looks on their face when we get to heaven. I really do. I think some of them are going to be shocked at who is there. Some of them are going to be shocked at who isn't there. Amen. I know Baptist preachers that think they're the only ones going. We're the only ones going. Don't they, Brother Fred? Yes, sir. They call them Baptist briders. Oh, yeah. Boy, are they in for a shock. Oh, yeah. I've heard them even say about these preachers on TV and these preachers preaching out of these NIV Bibles, saying you can't get saved from somebody preaching in an NIV Bible. God can do whatever He wants. Yeah. Amen. Yes, you hear? Let me say it again. God can do whatever He wants. Yeah. Yeah. Are you listening tonight? Some of the greatest preachers the world has ever known were not Baptist. Yes. Amen. Amen. I don't know why I got off on that. But I think some people are going to be shocked when we get to heaven. Uh-huh. You're going to get to heaven and there's going to be some great person or somebody you grew up in church with all your life, and you're going to go, where is so-and-so?
Yeah, come on.
I thought if anybody were saved, they were. Our job is not to figure out who is and who ain't. Our job is to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I would get that settled tonight if we don't go any further in the messages. If this is all you get tonight, hey, even if you're saved, go back to that point and rejoice in it. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, that's what I did when Brother Earl preached on salvation every Sunday morning at White Oak. Brother, I just got excited because I was.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And prayed somebody else would get it.
Yeah.
So the first requirement for abiding in Christ is conversion, being saved. Secondly, the second requirement for abiding in the Lord is closeness. Closeness. That word abide implies closeness. Amen. If you're going to abide in somebody or abide with somebody, that means you're going to have to get close to them. Amen. I abide with my wife. That'd be hard to do and not be close to her, wouldn't it? Amen. But if I'm really going to abide in her or with her, I've got to be close to her. I remember years ago, my dad and my stepmom, they would fight pretty bad. And I remember my dad slept on one end of the house in the back bedroom, and my stepmother slept on the other end of the house. That really isn't abiding together, is it? Amen. That really isn't abiding together. Amen. I'm glad we abide together. And if we're going to abide with Christ, that means we're going to have to get close to Him. And the only way to get close to Him, He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder how close we are to God tonight.
Yeah, come on.
How close we are with the Lord.
Amen.
I thought about old Enoch. Old Enoch, the Bible said, walked with God and was not, for the Lord took him.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, brother, that's a walk, isn't it? Yeah. I'd say that was abiding with the Lord, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I've always heard the old preacher say that God and Enoch were walking along, and God said, it's getting late, Enoch. And he said, we're closer to my house. You just come on home with me. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We ought to have a walk with God. Amen.
Amen.
Preacher, how do I know if I'm close to the Lord? Does He speak to you? Does the Lord talk to you? Do you feel His presence?
Amen.
The further you get away from Him, the less you feel Him.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said? The further you get away from Him, the less you feel Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
First requirement, conversion. Second requirement, closeness. I like that about our church. We're a close church. And that's a two-edged sword. Because we are, everybody knows everybody's junk.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's a good thing when you know people's problems and you can pray for them.
Yes,
I guess it's a bad thing when you spread it. Amen? But I like the closeness of our church. I like that. Amen. I like there's no hierarchy really around here. Amen? We're just all who we are and do what we do. Amen. And get along. I like the closeness. We need that closeness with the Lord. And you know what? The closer we are to Him, the closer we'll be to each other.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Amen. The closer we are to Him, the closer we'll be to each other. I had a lady in the church tell me one time, she said, they'd been coming to our church just for a little while, and they wanted to talk to me after church. And she said, "Preacher, I'm having a problem. We love the church, we love the preaching, we love the singing, all that, but I just can't get to know anybody." That's what she said. And I said, "Can I just be real candid and honest with you?" She said, "Sure." I said, "You made no effort." I said, "I've watched people have approached you and shake your hand." I said, "You're just standoffish." She said, "Well, that's my personality." I said, "Well, if you want to get to know some people, you're going to have to change your personality."
That's right.
Amen. Amen. If you want to get close to somebody, you've got to make an effort.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. Brother Freddie, Brother Charles and I, we're friends. But it didn't happen just like that. Amen. We're close. Amen. This man and that man know stuff about me that nobody else knows. But it wasn't like that from day one. I think from day one, Brother Charles didn't even like me, or he wasn't sure about me. I mean, he would sit there while I was preaching and just shake his head, boy. Brother Charles said, "Bless this poor dumb kid." Amen. But we're close.
Yeah.
But we've had to work at that relationship. I was just a kid preacher. Still, I'm not really a kid anymore, but still young. But I remember I wanted so bad. I knew Robert Upton all our lives. We grew up together. I didn't care whether Robert accepted me or not. I knew I had him. You know what I mean? I don't mean that in a bad way. I knew he was my friend. Yeah. I knew he liked me. But I wanted to win his heart.
Yeah.
I wanted him to respect me like I respected him.
Yes.
You know what that took? It took time and it took effort.
And
if you're going to get close to God, it's no different than with people. Matter of fact, He's easier to get close to than people are. But it's going to take time, and it's going to take effort. You don't grow to be super Christian overnight. Amen. It's just like a baby growing up. But what we ought to be doing is growing closer, not growing farther away from the Lord. Are we okay tonight? It requires conversion, but it requires closeness. Amen. I want that closeness with the Lord. Amen. I told Brother Freddie, we was talking the other day, he said, "How's your day?" I said, "Boy, it's been good. The Lord's been showing me some stuff." Preachers, Brother Charles will understand this, Brother Freddie probably. Sometimes we go through dry spells. Sunday school teachers may understand, where you just got to scratch and claw and dig for every little thing you get. Amen. We're just coming up with the sermon for Wednesday night is, "Oh, Lord, you don't have a clue what to do." That then, boy, there's those days when God just scoops right up next to you.
Amen.
And boy, it just, I'm just like, "Whoa, slow down, Lord, slow down, slow down. Let me get a pen." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I like that. I like that closeness. Thirdly, if we're going to abide in Christ, I said it requires conversion. It requires closeness. It requires communion.
Yes, it does.
Amen. Amen. If I'm going to be close to God, we got to talk.
Yeah.
We got to talk. If I'm going to be close to Him, we have to talk. If this church is going to bear fruit, we have to talk. If my marriage is going to bear fruit and be successful, we got to talk.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Angie and I, somebody said, "Who do y'all hang out with?" Nobody. I mean, not that we don't love people. We do love people. Occasionally, maybe once a year, we'll go out with Brother Warren, Sister Vanessa, when they've got a good gift card and hook us up, you know. We've gone out several times, Brother Freddie and Miss Shelley. We like to be together.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Just us.
Amen.
Without nobody else in our face.
Yes.
She's my best friend.
Amen.
Can you imagine going to Australia for 2 weeks with somebody you don't have no communion with? Amen.
Amen.
For us to abide in Him, there's got to be communion or conversation.
Yes,
there's got to be an interaction there. Amen. You'll find that the more that you'll talk to Him, the closer you'll get to Him. Amen. Listen, to abide in Christ means that there's more than just a closeness in location, but a closeness in conversation. We can live in the same house. That's close. and not have communication.
That's right.
Amen? How many of your marriages do well when you don't speak? When Rusty doesn't speak, you do. Brother Freddie always says there's a clown in every circus. Amen. There's got to be conversion. There's got to be closeness. There's got to be communication. I've said it and I've said it and I've said it and I've said it, and I know it's true because I'm human too. The most two important things in our lives, in our spiritual lives, is our Bible and our prayer life. And though those are the hardest two things to maintain, I'm telling you, if we're going to abide in Him, it's going to take work. Amen. It's going to take work. There's got to be a conversion. You got to know Him before any of this will work. You've got to get close to Him. And then thirdly, you got to talk to Him. And you know what? If you'll talk to Him, He'll talk to you.
Yes, amen.
Amen. He'll talk to you. Somebody said, well, the Lord don't ever show me anything. Never does say anything to me. Well, what have you said to Him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. He said, I'm having a hard time understanding my Bible. Do you ask the Lord to show you something before you read it?
Yeah.
You ever read your Bible and you just get in there and stop and you hit a stump? Or you hit one of them words that you can't even make sense out of?
Yeah.
And you go, whoa. You ever just stop right in the middle of your reading and say, Lord, could you help me understand this?
Yeah.
Lord, you wrote it. You must mean for me to receive it.
Yeah.
Help me to get
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You ever do that?
Yes,
He'll help you if you ask Him.
Yes,
we have not because we ask not. Amen. Talk to Him. He'll talk to you.
Yes,
Amen. I was talking to Him yesterday evening. I sat down and I figured it was going to take me all night long. And that's what I'd planned on. I'm staying up late tonight. I'm getting every message ready, lined up for Australia, and get settled for tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. About an hour, that's done. That's 8 sermons. I said, Lord, I don't know these people. I don't even understand their vernacular, some of the words and the terms that they use, and they sure not going to understand some of mine. Seriously. I said, I got to know which way to go, what direction to go. And boy, I just started going through my notes, and the Lord just said, bam, 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 bam. Lined it right out. Man, you talk to Him. He'll talk to you. Amen. You talk to Him. He'll talk. You say, does He talk to you in an audible voice? I'm still here, ain't I? If He did, I'd probably have a heart attack and die. But I understand when He's speaking as much as I would if it were audible. Amen.
Amen.
Got to be conversion, got to be closeness, got to be communion. Listen, fourthly, to abide in Christ, there's some commands.
Yes,
are you listening? Abiding in Christ involves the commands of Christ. Amen. The exhortation, I guess that's the word I'm looking for, in this verse, to abide in Him, is a command. You understand that? He said, if you want to bear fruit, this is a must.
Yes. Yes.
Did you know there's few suggestions in the Bible?
Right. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Few. Do you know the Ten Commandments are not suggestions?
Right.
And they're not just good ideas. Right. They're law.
Yes. Right.
They're commands.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
You know the most important thing you can do in your Christian life is obey. I believe the Bible says it, 1st or 2nd Samuel. 1st Samuel, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
what do you reward your children for more than anything? Obedience.
Yes,
man, isn't it a blessing not to have to fight and struggle over every little thing you ask them to do? You just ask them to do it and they do it.
Amen.
Amen. Ashley was that way as a kid. It was just awesome. I probably count on one hand the whipping she's had. I said, Ashley, will you do this for Daddy? Yes, sir. And boy, you could count on it being done.
Amen.
Levi took a ball bat. Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
The Lord likes it when we obey Him.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
And he has some commands on our life, doesn't he? He has some for me that he don't have for you.
That's right.
He may have some for you that he don't have for me.
Yes, sir.
But then he has those in this book that he has for all of us.
Amen.
Yes,
sir, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
We all right tonight?
Yes, sir. Amen.
How are we doing at obeying him? Yeah, don't lie to me.
Yeah, right.
How are we at obeying him? I have good days and bad days. How about you?
Yes,
I have days that I'm an obedient child. I have days I'm a rebellious little rascal. Can I get a witness? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, there are days, man, that I'm following this flesh and I'm doing what it wants. Then there's days I do pretty good and I feel like the Lord said, nah, ain't that better? Amen. But there's going to have to be conversion. There's going to have to be closeness. There's going to have to be communication or communion. And there's going to have to be commands that are followed. Amen. Fifthly, I'm almost done. Fifthly, let me give you this. There's going to have to be consistency. Consistency. One of the things I see more than anything, especially traveling around our nation and preaching, is inconsistency. Now, some of you are new, so this doesn't apply to you. But for most of you, would the preachers that we have in from time to time, like camp meeting, would they know who you are? I mean, would they, not necessarily your name, but would they know your face when they saw you? Because you've been consistently here for all this time?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Today when you preach in places and you go back a year later, it's a whole different crowd. I forgot who it was that had moved away or something, and they came back to visit and they said, man, I don't know anybody here. It's a bad testimony.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Ought to be the same old faces from now on.
Yes.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we ought to just be consistent.
Yes,
and I'm not just talking about our church attendance and our church membership, but we ought to be consistent in our abiding in him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I think some of us are like a couple I used to counsel years ago. They were on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. It was either honeymoon or Hades by the half acre.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. Called me one afternoon and said, she's hitting me. What I do? I said, hit her back. Called me one night and said, she's packing her suitcase. I said, hallelujah, help her. Amen. Towed it to the car. It was a nightmare. My wife, I tell you, it was a nightmare. And I think that's the way we are with God.
Yeah. Amen.
Here's where we are. We're either topping trees, whoa, on fire, wide open, or flat, dead zero, cold, dead as a hammer in the other direction.
Yeah.
There's got to be some middle ground there.
Yes, sir. Yes.
If we're going to bounce back and forth, let's go from extreme to middle ground. Extreme, middle ground. Not extreme to extreme. Does that make sense? It's like a preacher I know. He's in and wide open, or he's out. Amen? Needs to be some consistency. Are we consistent in our prayer life? Do we only pray when we have a problem? I said this the other day. I wonder how often you'd pray if you didn't have troubles. I wonder how often you'd talk to the Lord just because you love him. I don't talk to Angie just when we have problems. I talk to her every day. I bug her at work. As soon as she answers the phone, I say, are you covered up? Are you busy? I just want to hear her voice. When I talk on the phone, Lord knows, I hate talking on the phone. I don't know why. I can't stand it. But when I talk on the phone, I may not talk to her 3 minutes, but I just want to talk to her.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you ever just want to talk to the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Do you ever take advantage of the time that you have alone?
Yes, sir.
You're driving down the road in the car?
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Consistently. Or do you struggle when you pray? You struggle when you pray because there's no consistency in your prayer. The more you pray, the easier it gets.
Yes,
it's just like anything else. Amen?
Yes, amen?
Amen. Same thing with reading the Bible. Oh, it takes hard work and discipline to start with, but once you get used to doing it, you'll miss it if you don't. Amen. I told y'all, my wife and I started riding those bicycles. And man, that's a lot of fun. We've enjoyed that. We rode 21 miles Thursday afternoon. It's a wonder I can walk. Amen. And we had a good time. But we, after about the third day we rode, I called her at work. I said, "How you feeling?" She said, "Fine." I said, "We're going to ride this afternoon?" Man, once you start doing something, amen, it takes consistency. That first day we rode, I was sore the next day. That last day we rode, 21 miles, I was fine. Amen. First time anybody rides a horse for any period of time, they get up the next morning and they're like this. Since I started fooling them things, it don't bother me, but I don't feel it. Why? Because it's consistent. But if I ride it and wait a year and do it again, I'll be sore every time. Amen. Amen. We need to be consistent with our abiding in Christ. Amen. Lastly, I said we need to know that we've been converted. It's going to require closeness. It's going to require communication. It's going to require following His commands. It's going to require consistency. And lastly, it has compensation.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He said, "If ye abide in me, and I in you, ye shall bear," what did He say?
Fruit.
Why? If you abide in me, and I abide in you. You say, "Well, what, how is that such compensation? How is that a payday?" That's the biggest payday there is, man. That's those earth, that's those heavenly treasures you're laying up right there. Amen. I didn't lead Edward to Christ or Courtney, but I'm glad I had a part in it. Amen. I'm glad they was with our church when they went. Amen. I don't pray with every kid that gets saved in the children's church, but I'm glad I got a part in it. Amen. We will bear fruit. I will not even see the souls that all our missionaries lead to the Lord until we get to heaven. But boy, I'm glad I got a part in it. There's going to be a payday someday. Amen. Old Paul said, we talked about this the other day. He said, "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Amen. There's a payday coming. Amen. The psalmist said, "He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Amen. Hey, if we'll stay in Him, as He stays in us, we know we're saved. We make sure there's a closeness. We make sure that there is communion. We make sure that we do our best to follow His commands. We do our best to be consistent. We will be rewarded.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
He said openly. Wow. I love to watch God bless people. I do. There's people in our church, now I won't say their names, but there's some that they just seem to do good at everything they do. Seem like God blesses every effort. Whatever they try to do, God just blesses it. I like to see that. You know what that tells me? They must have a pretty good walk. Amen. They must have a pretty good walk. Are you abiding in Him tonight? Even greater question, is He abiding in you? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, would y'all get us a song? I wonder how many would be honest tonight and say with me, "I'm trying, but not as hard as I ought to. I'm abiding in Christ sometimes, but not all the time. I'd like to have a better walk. I'd like to have better communion with the Lord. I'd like to hear His voice more. And I know He'd like to hear mine more." Maybe we'll just get on the altar tonight and say, "Lord, help us to abide in You." Isn't that funny?
We can't even obey His commands without His help. We can't even do what He wants us to do unless He helps us to do it. Isn't that just like a good father with his children? You tell them something to do, and if it's something they'll have a hard time with, you'll help them. Amen. Let's just mind the Lord tonight. Amen. Y'all go ahead and sing, guys. Whatever's on your heart, let's just mind God tonight.